Welcome to the MJA podcast. My name is Kate Swanell and I'm the news and online editor for the MJA. This morning I'm chatting with Professor Peter Jones, who is Dean of Medicine at Bond University. Thanks, Professor Jones, for your time.
Glad to be here.
You've co-authored an article that's going in an upcoming issue of the MJA about Australian children in out-of-home care. Tell me, first of all, how many Aussie kids are there in out-of-home care?
Look, we know that there's, as of the 30th of June 2015, there were over 43,000 children in formal out-of-home care. And if one looks at the data year on year, the number of children has increased each and every year. So it's probably close to 45,000 at the time of making this.
What's the proportion of Indigenous to non-Indigenous in that group?
About 65% of the children are non-Indigenous, but about 35% are Indigenous. So when we look at the total numbers, there are nearly 28,000 of non-Indigenous children and over 15,000 Indigenous children. And those numbers, if we put them around in another way, we've got one Indigenous child in 16, or 6% of all Indigenous children, are currently being placed in out-of-home care, and about one child, and that's about 10 times the rate what we find in non-Indigenous children. But even the rate in non-Indigenous children is still about one in every 180 children, which makes it an incredibly common thing.
What are the negatives of being a child in out-of-home care?
Well, the thing about children in out-of-home care is they are just the tip of the iceberg of those children who are currently growing up in family circumstances where there's been obviously a substantiated notification to the Department of Child Safety about the child having an episode of neglect, which can either be straight neglect, physical abuse or sexual abuse. And so, you know, we think that probably there's at least three times that many children who have an episode of neglect that don't wind up going into foster care. And really what these statistics tell us is that there are just far too many children growing up in very disadvantaged circumstances, and that's going to lead to a generation of adults who haven't had a good and nurturing childhood.
People argue that taking kids out of their families and putting them in out-of-home care keeps them safe from physical harm. We'll talk about the evidence for that in a minute, but is it keeping them safe from mental harm?
Look, I think the answer to that question is placing them in out-of-home care often exposes them to further mental harm. There's quite a degree of evidence that this particular group of children have really very poor statistics for mental health. And the subset of these children who wind up not being able to be returned to their family but staying long-term and out of home care and not having a stable family environment, that they have some awful statistics for problems with depression, attention deficit hyperactivity, a condition called reactive attachment disorder, which shouldn't be a very big surprise that these children have problems with attachment if they wind up being placed in out-of-home care. And then that out-of-home care, it's very rare for it to be the child placed in a single happy placement.
So the length of placement in one place makes a difference?
The children, if you have a look at the way the statistics about security of placement and the child winding up being placed in the one loving home, which is what you might hope would expect, that if a child was considered to be in such danger that you had to not have them looked after by their parents, you'd think at the very least they'd go to a family which would then go and nurture them in the long term. But the evidence surrounding this is exactly the opposite. They don't even report on the number of children who have just one placement. It's successful if you have less than three placements. And what is really amazing is the fact that we have about 10,000 children in Australia who have been in out-of-home care for more than 5 years and have an average of more than 10 placements. And so it shouldn't be any surprise that with all of these thousands of children who are in out-of-home care having lots of different short-term placements that are unsuccessful, how devastating that must be to your own mental health and feelings of self-worth. It's just terrible.
Should we leave them with their families?
Well, look, I think for all of these things, often if you look at the immediate decisions that are being made, you can't necessarily criticise the immediate decisions that are being made. And this is where you have to have a much more macro view of the policy. So that if we have a look at previous government investigations into this matter, and if we have a look, they had a very big Senate inquiry about this last year, and they made lots of recommendations, 39 recommendations. But amazingly, out of those 39 recommendations, there wasn't a single recommendation that said, hey, we should work towards having less children in foster care. Every single recommendation is about maybe if we had more carers, it'd be better. Maybe if we trained the carers, it would be better. Instead of having the fundamental question of, maybe we should look at our society and some of the social policies that are currently governing the care of children and say, surely to goodness, this is a key performance indicator that there are children in foster care. Let's keep that in the front of the general population and let's work across a whole range of different policies to see if we can become less reliant on having to always think that placing children in foster care means that the immediate decision that we've seen a child that's neglected, we've got to get them out of there and into foster care and thinking they're safe. And they're safe from the point of view of the people involved in that initial interaction, but they're not safe in the long term because they then disappear into this terrible vortex of foster care where they might go from one carer to the next and before you know it, you've compounded all the difficulties that have been confronting this child, invested large sums of money. And the answer to this, it'd be wonderful if we could prevent children going into foster care in the first place.
Yes.
And so if you have a look at other major policy achievements, I mean, I liken it a bit like to the road toll.
Yes.
And in the road toll was nearly 4,000 people about just 40 years ago, and it's now only about just over 1,000 people, despite the fact the population has doubled. Now, if we use the same sort of policy direction for the road toll, we would have looked at the road toll and said, gee whiz, we need to build more hospitals and have more spinal units because we're having all these terrible car accidents. And if we keep on investing in those, we'll treat all the problems, but don't worry about the cause of the car accidents. We'll actually look at, we don't care about road safety because we can fix the problem at the downstream. And people would have thought that would be crazy.
Yes.
And in this particular set of circumstances, even from the kind of questions, it might be, Do you want them left with their own family? And it's simplifying the situation to try and say, can I make a judgment on individual decisions that are needing to be made every single day in the current setting? Well, no, people are making the decisions that they probably, that are reasonable as an isolated decision.
Yes.
The challenge here is, as a community, can we have a look at it and say, hey, wait a minute. Why do we have so many children in foster care? And you're having a look at some of the bigger markers of poverty. You wind up having those markers of people who wind up having family structures that have been destroyed and us accepting lower quality family environments as being what needs to be sustained and nurtured. So how could you improve that family environment? How could you improve the level of problems that are around? And when we see this, you know, rather horrific statistic which says 6% of our Aboriginal kids need to be placed in foster care, you're saying, what are we doing in those communities that make life so bad that this seems to be a sensible option?
other countries have made some changes, haven't they? The US and New Zealand. Tell us a little bit about those models.
If you looked at the statistics 20 years ago, the US had far more children in foster care than Australia, whereas the reverse is true now, where we have more children in foster care than occurs in the United States. And so the US approach has been more of, look, if we've identified the particular problem of the child in foster care, let's try and work with the family. But if we haven't been able to achieve restoration of the child to their parents within a period of 2 years, we should really look at, you know, the Safe Adoption Act, Family Act is what they've had in the USA, and that's meant it's become easier for there to be formal adoption of children. So that means that there's long-term security and the hope that a long-term loving placement can start to work on trying to restore some of the emotional damage that's done by growing up in a family where there's lots of child abuse and neglect occurring. And so that's seen the numbers of children in foster care drop. And so both in total number, despite the population increasing. And yes. So it is possible to have less children in foster care. If we look at the New Zealand model, I think they adopt for very much earlier on in the piece, looking to place the child with extended family and kin, and then making sure that those people who might be like grandparents or aunties and uncles receive the legal rights of being a parent. And if there are happens to be sort of, you know, social welfare payments, they then get paid to those grandparents. There are, despite the 45,000 children who are in foster care, there are a great number of children who might be being raised by their parents or their aunties that haven't even come to the attention of the Department of Community Services. So yeah. Whatever number we sort of say are in formal out-of-home care, there's highly likely to be many more children out there who are in something analogous to out-of-home care. And then those particular people offering the role of being the parent and the carer, not having the security of knowing that the child is actually theirs from the point of view of providing ongoing decision-making on behalf of that child and being the person who's looking after that particular child and caring for that particular child, with the support of knowing that the dysfunctional biological parent might be able to turn up at any day or any stage and have the child who's moving forward in a successful way go back to the carer, because that's where the law says that they need to return to. So I think there is strength in looking at both of those particular models and seeing what kind of model could help Australia become less reliant on children in foster care. It seems terrible that we've, in those statistics that I have in the paper that I've written, that we've seen such an acceleration in the number of children placed in foster care during a time when we've had, between 1997 and 2015, which is where the table says that we've had these increases in children and out-of-home care, we haven't had a recession. No. We've had unprecedented amounts of personal wealth, and we've probably got fewer total children in the country, yet we've gone from having just under 14,000 children in out-of-home care to 44,000 children in out-of-home care. So by any stretch of the imagination, that's pretty terrible. I mean, you'd have to say that, my goodness, what the hell is going on? So instead of saying, look, I don't doubt that they need more foster carers, but the reason they need more foster carers is because they've tripled the number of foster children. Yes. And a lot of the people who might have been willing to be foster carers might feel a bit intimidated by the fact that, gee whiz, if I really get attached to this child, I'm really interested in looking after a child in the long term and not just in a series of the short term. So I'm sure that type of experience, and I've talked to many foster parents as a paediatrician who might have had a bit of an awkward experience or a feeling of a feeling of frustration, doubt, grief or whatever when they might see children that they've been looking after for 12 months or 18 months or a couple of years go back into worrying social circumstances for an uncertain future. Yes. So, I think if I'm writing this particular article, it's not to sort of say that there's necessarily, and the last thing I want people to be doing is pouring more negativity on the Department of Child Safety or whatever it might be called in your particular state.
Yes.
It's more to say, let's work out all the different things we might need to do to be able to set our social policies in order so that we, number one, have this statistic of out-of-home care recorded on the news like we record the percentage of people who smoke cigarettes, the number of people who die in car crashes, and how about our kids? What are we doing to make sure that we've got less kids needing to be placed in foster care? Are we doing, do we have too much welfare? Do we have too little welfare in certain spots?
Yeah.
What can we do piece by piece, policy by policy? It's not going to change overnight, but unless you say that, hey, we want this number not to go any higher, we'd like it to be 40,000 children in 2020, and we'd like it to be 30,000 by 2025. Because
yes.
Unless we set those particular targets as the community's key performance indicator, we can have all of the end stage treatments for this, and we'll just have an ever increasing number of children in foster care. Each one of those kids is a child that's probably had a number of substantiated notifications of neglect. They've been placed in foster care, and about a quarter of those kids wind up staying in foster care for more than 5 years and being placed in up to 10 placements or more. Interestingly enough, if you look at a table which says number of Australians in prison in the last 20 years,
yes.
The number in prison mysteriously is growing at about the same rate as the number of kids that we have in foster care.
Yeah.
They don't all wind up in prison, but you could have lost count of the number of times you hear a judge's statement about some person who's appeared before the judge, and they tell the story that they were a ward of the state and they had an unfortunate life. And if you're trying to put a cost on these sorts of things, when we have a child in foster care, the average cost that the government has to put in is somewhere between $70,000 and $100,000 a year to keep that child in and out of home care placement per child. So when you're having a look to say, my goodness, we haven't got the resources to think about prevention or to rethink our policies, by the time you've thought of all of those staff who have to be engaged in child safety services, the impost on the legal services, and that in itself is another story where these children wind up getting placed in care on the basis of often being unrepresented as children, and the default decision is to place them in foster care, and the child's had no legal representation to say if that was the right thing for the child. There's a multitude of dimensions to this particular problem that deserve a dozen papers on its own. And
yes.
So the overall message is that this number should be a key performance indicator for society, and that KPI should be in the front of all of our eyes, because it's an intersection of social services, legal services, policies for welfare, and a whole range of different questions that we should be seeking to sort of answer piece by piece, with the ultimate thing being the barometer of how well our society's looking after its most vulnerable, is that this number should be not increasing at an exponential rate if we've got a society that's working. Because if we leave this unchecked, we're going to have to keep on trying to find more carers, build more jails, look out for all of the consequences, and that's not going to be an economically productive or a socially productive thing to be doing.
Thanks, Peter, so much for your time.
Okay, that's great.